Well, we're going to continue tonight by looking at the scriptures. Now, over the last few weeks, I've been taking a series of lessons on Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm. And it is actually my favourite of all the psalms. And as I've said in previous weeks, I like to refer to this psalm as God's word about itself. You know, the word of God about itself. This psalm is what God says about itself, or about himself. We know Jesus is the word of God. And I want us to start tonight by looking at one verse in this psalm, and I want to read it to you from the Amplified Translation. And that's verse 96. Psalm 119, verse 96. And in the Amplified Translation, it reads like this. I have seen that everything human has its limits and end, no matter how extensive, noble, and excellent. But your commandment is exceedingly broad and extends without limits into eternity. You know, there that verse shows us and tells us that everything has its limitations. Doesn't matter how excellent or great they are. Let me just give you this same verse from a few other translations. We have from the Today's English Version, it reads it like this. It says, I have learned that everything has limits, but your commandment is perfect. The New Century Version says, everything I see has its limits, but your commands have none. Then another version, the New International Version, puts it like this. To all perfection, I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. You know, there's no limit to the commands and the word of God. Then the last one, just for you to listen to, is the Contemporary English Version. And it says this, nothing is completely perfect except your teachings. Nothing is completely perfect except your teachings. You know, everything in life is transient. Everything changes and comes to an end. Even life itself is transient. Things change. Things are temporary. You know, but Jesus said, you know, and he put it like this, talking about the limitless, everlasting, unchanging nature of the Word of God. He put it like this. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. He says, but my words will not pass away. You know, even heaven and earth, the heavens that we know, and you know, the earth that we live on, will one day be gone. And when all that's gone, when it's all, I was going to say this, when it's all been tidied away and brushed up, God's word will still last and will still stand strong. You know, things change. I want to read to you just about some changes that have taken place over the last few years. And just listen to some of these. If you said to somebody in China that they are one in a million, and you know what that phrase means, you're one in a million, means you're unique. But if you said that to somebody in China, do you know there would be 1,350 people just like you? You know, the population is at 1,350,000. Just those people, just like you. Did you know that China will soon become the number one English-speaking country in the world? It's 25% of India's population with the highest IQs. So that's the top 25% of intelligent people in India is already greater than the entire population of the USA. The top 10 must have jobs in 2013, last year, did not even exist in 2004. You know, we are changing, the world is changing at a phenomenal rate. Today, we are currently preparing students for jobs that do not exist, using technologies that have not yet been invented to solve problems that we don't even know about. That's mind-boggling already, isn't it? That we're already training up people to solve the problems that we don't even know exist. In the USA, one in five couples as of last year, or I think it's 2013-2014, one in five couples have met online. And it's estimated that by 2025, that will be one in two couples. How many of you have heard of WhatsApp? Well, WhatsApp has 600 million active users. And if WhatsApp was a country, it would be the third largest in the world, behind China and India. Today, there are 3.5 billion Google searches every day. In 2006, that was 2.7 billion per month. For those of you that love sending text messages, there's a little bit of information for you. The first commercial text message, or SMS, in the world was sent in 1992. Today, the number of SMS messages sent daily equals 7 billion. But WhatsApp users send 50 billion messages a day. That is phenomenal. 50 billion messages every day by WhatsApp users. The amount of new technical information is doubling every 2 years. For students that are starting this right now, for students that are starting a 4-year technical degree or technological degree, it means that half of what they learn in this first year will already be outdated by their third year. It's estimated that 1 week's worth of New York Times contains more information than a person would have come across in their entire lifetime during the 18th century. And the last piece of information, and I've got a few more of these, you can read them if you want them, but by 2049, so we're talking about just over 30 years' time, a $1,000 PC will exceed the computational capabilities of the entire human species. You know, technology is changing at an ever-increasing rate. And the world is changing at an ever-increasing rate. You know, but the problem is technology and human ideas have to be revised. They need to be updated, they need to be corrected, and they need to be upgraded. And those of you that have computers and know anything about them, you'll know that every now and then your computer will go through an update process, and it will download an update from whichever, whether you're using Apple or whether you're using Microsoft, and you'll see an update as it updates the entire system that you're working. You change your virus database on your computer several times a day. That is updated and upgraded. Politicians, pop stars, economic gurus become the in thing for just a short period of time, and then they change. Newspapers are reprinted every day as the news changes every minute. But did you know, in this world of change that we live in, where nothing lasts, nothing remains, God's word is perfect. And it cannot be improved, it cannot be updated, it cannot be upgraded. You know, there's no patches that it's needed to download from heaven to renew something that's now out of date, because God's word never changes. Somebody once said this, and I think Sister Carla quoted something like this on her Facebook page a few days ago. You know, God's word is more current and up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. You know, our faith, it rests on the eternal, unchanging word of God. And that's a secure anchor in this temporal and changing world. No wonder the psalmist could say here in verse 165, he says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace. You know, if you have great peace, that means you're totally content. There's nothing missing in your life at all. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, what I want us to do tonight, very briefly, we're going to look at the first, with this thought that God's word is limitless and unchanging, even though we live in a changing society. Even though we live in a world which is increasing at a rapid rate. We're going to focus tonight on the first 24 verses of this psalm. And we're not going to look at every verse. But I want us to look at these verses in the light of the changing world and the unchanging word of God. Our life moves on at a fast pace, but God's word remains firm, remains solid. You know, just look at the opening thoughts of the psalmist here. He says here in verse 1 and verse 2, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. You know, those who choose to use God's perfect word as the basis for their lifestyles, Jesus said, or the psalmist here says, they're blessed. And Jesus also said that they're blessed. You know, Jesus, and we've touched on this, we've focused on this a few times over these last few weeks, but it's not bad for us to mention it again, because Jesus said that the man who builds his house on the rock is wise. He's a blessed man. You know, and we knew then he was talking about his word, because he said this, he said, those who hear these sayings of mine and do them. Those who hear my words and do them are wise. And he says they're like a man who builds his house upon a solid rock. You know, when the storms of life beat upon that life that's built on the rock, it will stand firm. Why? Because God's word stands firm. You know, God's word is the great, eternal, unchanging word of God. It is our secure anchor in this temporal world. So happy or blessed are those who choose to use God's perfect word as the basis for their life. And do you know what verse 3 says? It says this: they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Do you know what we could say there? It says they can do no wrong. If you build your life on the word of God, you cannot go wrong. You know, it's a perfect measure, perfect foundation for us to build on. Now verse 9. You know, the psalmist asks a question in verse 9. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Or how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed or listening to your word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. You know, we've just read in verses 1 and 2 that that's the same for the older generation as well. You know, the recipe is just the same. You know, take heed, listen to what God says. Take heed to it. You know, don't just, not just listening to it, but it's putting it into practice. Taking notice. You know, where we are living in here in Malta, just a 2 or 3 minute walk from where we live, they have notices up which say, warning of gunshots. Because it's a place where hunting takes place. And that's the fact, there's people there that are practicing their shooting. And if you walk through the area, you can see the empty cartridges and the whatever it is they're shooting at. There's tin cans and things that they're firing at. Dead bodies. But there's notices up saying that you've got to keep to the path. Because if you wander from the path, particularly when they're firing the guns, you might get a nasty surprise. You know, when you read those notices, if you don't take notice of what the signs say, you're in danger. And if we don't take notice of what God's word says, we're in danger of going astray. We've got to do what the word tells us to do. We cannot go wrong if we live our lives according to the word of God. You know, there is a lovely verse, and actually it's the opening verse to the Psalms. Psalm 1 verse 1. And Psalm 1 verse 1, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then it goes on, it says, he, who is it talking about here? It's talking about the man who delights himself in the law of the Lord. The man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I haven't always, in things, I haven't always followed that scripture. But I try to do my best. You know, it doesn't matter whether someone is the best person in their field. if they don't know God, they're not people of the Word of God, then their counsel, we're told not to pay attention to. Let me give you an example. A man may be the best physician that a country has. And he can look at your, he can examine your body, he can look at you and he can say to you, well, there's, you've got this thing wrong and really there's no hope. Now that's his counsel, that's his advice. If he's an ungodly man, or he's a man that doesn't believe the Word of God, that's the best advice he can give you. But does God say there's no hope for us? Well, you have to look it up and see. There are several scriptures, and we haven't got time tonight to go and look at them, but several scriptures talk about the Lord being our healer. You know, and we looked at Abraham a few weeks ago. Now it says of Abraham that when everything was against him, actually like the scripture says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. When there was no natural physical hope for him, he chose to put his trust and confidence in God. And God honored that faith. God honored that. So it doesn't matter whether these men are the best in their field. If they're given ungodly counsel, we're not to listen to it. We go to what God says. Why? Because the man who delights in the law of the Lord, the psalmist says, is blessed. Whatever he does shall prosper. You know, his life will be a life of blessing. And he likened it there to a tree planted by deep waters. So how can a young man keep his way pure, or have his way cleansed? By living according to the Word of God. We see another scripture here in verse 11, and I thought actually our brother Anthony was going to take this verse this morning and develop on it, but he didn't. He just quoted it and said a little bit and moved on. But here in verse 11 it says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, we can go to all of the, for all kinds of therapies. And that people do, because when people have a tendency to do wrong, and we've all got that tendency, we were born with it, the tendency to sin. We're born into that sin nature. But let me pick on a certain group of, if there are, let's look at people that are habitual criminals. You know, they can go through therapies, they can go through rehabilitation in order to try and steer them in the right direction. Yet, they're never really free from that tendency to commit crime. You know, I was praying once, and it was about something I was doing, and it seemed that every time it was sin, but every time I tried not to do this thing, I ended up doing it. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to do right, but I always found myself, a bit like the Apostle Paul, always found myself doing wrong. And I prayed about this. How can I change this tendency to keep doing the same thing over and over again? You know, and this was one of the scriptures that God gave me. You know, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And there are other scriptures that the Lord used, but this is one of them. You know, God's unchanging, limitless word has power to keep us from sin. Now, I can't always explain how God does things. I can't explain how the blood of Jesus washes us clean from sin. I'm just glad it does. And why? Because God said so. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what the Word says. Now, I don't know how. I just know it does. And there are a lot of things like that. I don't know how, but it just does. Or as we used to say, when we were asked what we considered to be silly questions by our children, when they say, you know what children like, they want to know why? Why does this happen? What? You know, and very often, sometimes the best answer, and it's the same in English, as you know, many of you know, I teach English. And there are some questions which students have, and do you know what the right answer is? Just because. That's the right answer. We can't explain how or why. It's just because it does. And that's all I need to know when God's concerned. I don't need to know how. It's just because. It just does. And that's good enough for me. You know, God's Word does that. It has the power to deal with sin in our lives. And if we trust the Word of God and we follow what God says, it has the power to keep us from sin. Your Word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That doesn't mean that we will never sin again. But one thing we do know, when God's Word's hidden in our heart, as we're reminded from time to time, we, as born-again believers, we know how to repent. You know, God's Word quickens us and brings us back to where we need to be. Let's look at another verse from this portion of Scripture, verse 17. Well, verse 17 and 18. I want to read these two verses. Verses 17 and 18. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. You know, what a couple of scriptures here. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I might live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. You know, God's word is a treasure chest that's full of instruction for successful living. Now, I don't just mean successful as some people understand success. And I do believe God's word will show us how to be successful. You know, the scripture says that, you know, it's the Lord who he shows us how to profit and be successful. But God's word shows us how to be successful in our lives, particularly in this ever-changing world. When things change, perhaps our body changes, our life changes, our surroundings change, God's word will show us how to be successful. Now, I've heard some people say this, and very foolishly, really because they don't understand. And you've probably heard something similar. They tell us that the Bible is just an ancient manuscript of religious writings. And they compare it to other religious writings. But here, the psalmist attributes his very life to keeping the Word of God. You know, there's power in God's Word to bring us life. You know, when the world changes, when things in our life change, you know, we have something solid, something sure, something certain. Again, this is a quotation I heard many years ago. I don't even know where I got it from now, but you know, God's word is more certain than tomorrow morning's daybreak. I think I probably said that last time, but God's word is more certain than tomorrow morning's daybreak. You know, we are not guaranteed the sun will rise in the morning. Jesus may come tonight and receive us to himself. We may not even finish this service. You know, it's as close as that. That trumpet may sound before we get back to our homes or our hotels. But as we said earlier, you know, God's word. You know, God's word is sure and certain. You know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured, and you can read the passage in the Gospels. I believe it's Mark 9, something like that, somewhere around there. You'll see that Peter, James and John were on that mountain with Jesus when he was transfigured and he appeared with Elijah and Moses. You know, and on the mountain, Peter didn't know what to say. So he said the first thing that came into his head. And it was, you know, Lord, it's good that we're here. You know, can we make you some little tents to dwell in? You know, perhaps trying to prolong the experience. You know, but years later, when Peter was writing his epistle to the church, he recalled that very occasion when he was on the mountain. And he writes to the church in 2 Peter. And he says, we were with him on the holy mountain. We were there. We heard God speak with our own ears. And we heard that prophetic utterance come from heaven. But then he goes on to explain to the church. He says, but even though we were there, even though we heard it, we've got something more sure, more certain. And he directed them back to the written word of God. He says, this more sure word of prophecy, he called it. This God's word. You know, it's sure. It's certain. We can trust it. It's a treasure chest that opens up to us all that we need to live successfully in this world. Then the final scriptures we're going to look at tonight on verses 22 to 24. He says, remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. We touched on it when we looked at verse 11. You know, here the psalmist prays. He says, remove me from reproach and contempt. He says, I've kept your testimonies. You know, in keeping and living according to the word of God, do you know what we do? We judge ourselves according to it. We judge ourselves in line with the word of God. You know, Jesus taught in that great sermon that he preached, recorded in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. I believe it's Matthew 7, he says this, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. You know, don't judge others otherwise you will be judged. But then he also said that we are to judge ourselves and we judge ourselves in line with the Word of God. And when we judge ourselves, we do not face judgment, because we've already judged ourselves righteously. So we could pray with the psalmist, "Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I've kept your testimonies." In keeping and living in line with God's word, we are kept from reproach and contempt. But then he goes on in verse 24, and we're finished with this verse. He says, "Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors." Really, that goes back to the very first verse that we read. You know, God's word gives us all the guidance, all the counsel, all the advice that we need, all the instruction to live in this world. You know, blessed are the undefiled in the way, he starts off in this psalm, who walk in the law of the Lord. And he finishes this third stanza in this book. He says, "Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors." Not all that we would rest and trust in God's limitless word. You know, the next time you see something change, you know, my grandmother once told me, we sat down and spoke for quite a while one day about all the changes that she'd experienced and she'd seen in her lifetime. And, you know, she had seen many. You know, yet we are seeing more today than what she saw in her lifetime. And every time we see something change, the next time you go online and you download an update, remember this. Your computer is being changed. It's being upgraded. You're upgrading your software package. But God's word never changes. God said himself in Malachi, he says, "I am the Lord, I do not change." Even though and Jesus said it, he doesn't change. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He remains the same. He's constant. The Word of God will outlast all of the technological advances. Well, actually, the Scripture says this. No, there will be no end to learning and understanding like that. There will be no end to that. But there will be an end one day. Technology will cease. And God's word will still stand strong. Amen.